Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a sub-pitch framework in Ableton Live 12 that's designed for jungle and old-school drum and bass, especially when you want that breakbeat energy, that classic tension and release, and those deep, musical pitch moves that feel intentional instead of random. The big idea here is simple. In this style, the sub isn't just low-end. It's part of the phrasing of the track. It can answer the break, lead into a fill, pull back before a drop, or slam down for that old-school woomph. So instead of drawing every little move by hand, we're going to build a rack with macros that let you perform the bass like an instrument. Start by creating a new MIDI track and loading Operator. Operator is ideal here because it gives you a clean sine-based sub with very precise control. Set oscillator to sine and turn off the other oscillators. Keep the envelope clean and tight. You want instant attack. No decay, no sustain as a held tone, and a short release so the notes stay controlled but don't click off too abruptly. Think of this as a pure sub foundation first, tone second. Now pay attention to the note range. For jungle and DNB, you usually want the fundamental living somewhere around F1 to G2. You can go lower if the arrangement is sparse, but if the tune gets busy, going too low for too long can make the mix lose focus fast. If your track is in F minor, notes like F1, Ab1, C2, and Eb2 are a great starting point that gives you movement while still staying rooted in the key. Next, we're going to build the control framework. Before operator, add a pitch device if you want global semitone control. Keep it at 0 for now. The point of this device is not to constantly shift the pitch, but to give us a macro mapped offset we can automate for drops, risers, and quick pitch gestures. Leave transpose at 0, detune at 0, and random at 0. Clean and disciplined is the vibe. Now group the chain into an instrument rack. Once it's grouped, show the macro controls and rename them into a performance layout. A good set would be sub pitch, pitch env, glide, sub weight, harmonics, filter dip, punch, and motion. These names are not just labels, they reflect how you'll actually think while writing the track. One or two controls for the musical phrase and the others for tone, weight, and character. Map macro 1, sub pitch, to the transpose in the pitch device. A useful range is from minus 12 semitones up to plus 7 semitones. That gives you proper sub drops, octave-style tension moves, and upward pushes before a drop. Keep the movement musical. You're not trying to make a gimmick patch. You're trying to create classic phrase motion that feels right with the break. Macro 2 is pitch env. Map this to the pitch envelope amount inside operator or the closest pitch-related envelope control you're using. Keep the range subtle to medium. At low settings, the sub stays pure. As you increase it, you get that little attack bend that feels very old school, almost hardware-like. This is a really nice way to add character to short bass notes and ghost notes without turning the patch into a wobble. Macro 3 is glide. Map this to portamento or glide time. Keep the range from 0 to around 120 milliseconds. In DNB, glide can be amazing, but too much of it will blur the groove. You want just enough for those sliding note changes, those little tape-style pitch pulls, and those classic jungle transitions between notes. If the bass starts feeling lazy, shorten the glide immediately. Macro 4 is sub weight. Use this as your perceived thickness control. Map it to a combination of oscillator volume, a little saturator drive, and maybe a small utility gain boost. The trick here is to make the bass feel bigger without just making it louder in a way that eats headroom. You want the sub to stay stable while the listener feels more body and density. Macro 5 is harmonics. This can control saturator drive or roar if you want a more aggressive live 12 edge, or overdrive if you want something rougher. Keep it subtle to moderate. This is important because a pure sine can disappear on smaller speakers. A little harmonic content helps the note translate on headphones, laptop speakers, and even in a busy club mix, while still keeping the true sub clean. Macro 6 is filter dip. Add an auto filter or EQ8 and map cutoff, maybe resonance if needed, to this control. Use it for muffled intros, breakdown filtering, and those lovely reveal moments where the bass opens up right when the drop lands. A movement from around 60 Hz up to around 200 Hz can be enough to create a huge sense of transition without overcomplicating things. Macro 7 is punch. This should shape the note attack and decay so the bass speaks clearly against the breakbeat. Shorter attack means more punch. Slightly shorter decay can leave more room for snare detail and ghost hits. If the kick and bass are fighting, this macro is one of the first things to adjust. In jungle and old school DNB, the bass should feel tight and responsive, not bloated. Macro 8 is motion. This is where you add subtle movement, but be careful. Do not widen the true sub. Keep anything below roughly 120 Hz mono. Use this macro on things like filter cutoff above the sub region, a touch of saturation movement, or very light stereo motion on the harmonic layer only. The sub itself should stay centered and solid. The motion belongs to the higher harmonics, not the foundation. Now let's split the sound properly, because this is a crucial part of the genre. You want a clean mono low layer, and a separate mid harmonic layer. The low layer is your sine sub, centered and stable. The harmonic layer can be filtered, slightly distorted, and maybe a little more animated. You can build this as two chains in a rack if you want, or duplicate the instrument chain and treat them separately. High pass the harmonic layer so it stays out of the true sub region, and then shape it with saturation or drive so the note reads with attitude. This split is what makes old school style bass feel huge without relying on one overprocessed patch. The listener hears a pure foundation, plus a character layer that adds life and grit. That's the move. Now write the MIDI pattern. The bass should work with the drums, not against them. Jungle and DNB bass lines are often short, syncopated, and conversational. Think call and response. Leave space for the break. Let the bass answer the rhythm instead of constantly filling every gap. If you're working in F minor, try a simple motif with F1, Ab1, C2, and Ab2. You might do something like F1, rest, Ab1, rest, then C2, F1, rest, Ab2, and so on. Keep some notes short and percussive. Don't make everything legato. In this style, note length is groove. A long bass note can swallow the break if you're not careful. Now start automating the macros. This is where the patch becomes a performance instrument. In the intro, keep sub pitch near zero, filter dip relatively closed, harmonics moderate, and motion subtle. You want the listener to feel atmosphere, not full impact yet. As you approach the drop, start opening the filter dip a little and maybe push sub pitch slightly upward for tension. Then, just before the drop, do a quick pitch dip or a brief downward move. That one moment can feel massive if it's timed right. On the drop itself, snap the sub pitch back to 0 or even minus 12 depending on the phrase, open the filter, and restore the weight. That contrast is what makes the drop feel alive. During breakdowns, use sub pitch and filter dip together. A slow rise from minus 12 to 0 over 1 or 2 bars can create a strong sense of lift. Add a snare fill or break roll underneath it, and suddenly the bass itself is doing the transition work. That's very effective in jungle, because it feels integrated with the rhythm section rather than pasted on top. Use Ableton's clip envelopes for precise control. Draw a quick minus 12 semitone drop on one hit if you want a dramatic punctuation moment. Draw a plus 7 rise at the end of a phrase if you want a cheeky lift into the next section. You can also automate glide for one special slide note, or slightly open the harmonics on a key accent. These little details matter. They make the bass feel played, not programmed. Since this is a breakbeats focused lesson, always check how the sub sits with the drums. Let the break carry the identity, and let the bass act like a counter-rhythm. If the notes are too long, shorten them so the kick transients, ghost snares, and chopped amen details still come through. A little sidechain compression can help, but keep it gentle. The goal is space, not a huge pump. A good habit is to test the patch at low volume. If the bass still reads clearly when it's quiet, your harmonic balance is probably right. Also check it both in solo and in the full mix, because a bass line that sounds huge by itself can clash badly once the break is in. This is where intentional imperfection helps. Tiny variations in note length, note start timing, or pitch gestures make the part feel human and alive. For advanced variation, try a two-stage pitch behavior. One macro can control the instant pitch offset, while another controls a slower bend depth. That gives you a quick drop and a slower sagging motion, which can sound very old school and tape-like. You can also map velocity to harmonic drive or filter openness so accented MIDI notes have more expression. That's a great way to make the bass converse with chopped break patterns. Another powerful approach is to create phrase states. Instead of thinking in individual macro tweaks, design a few states like clean, rough, lift, and dive, then automate between those states across the arrangement. That keeps the track coherent and stops the bass from becoming random or over-designed. For arrangement, don't use the same density everywhere. Make the intro sparse, make the first drop selective, and save the fuller macro motion for later in the tune. Leave space when the break does a fill, then let the bass answer after it. A short gap before the bass re-enters can hit harder than adding extra notes. In old school jungle especially, a little restraint goes a long way. And if you want to push the workflow further, resample the bass once the automation feels good. Print it to audio, then chop it into reverse swells, stuttered pickups, or one-shot fills. That kind of audio editing is very authentic in jungle and often gives you a stronger result than endlessly tweaking MIDI. So here's the core takeaway. You're not just making a bass sound. You're building a macro-controlled sub-performance system. The true sub stays mono, clean, and stable. The harmonics add audibility and grit. The macros give you musical pitch drops, rises, glide, weight, and movement. And the arrangement makes the bass breathe with the breakbeats. That's the secret sauce for jungle and old-school DnB. Tight low end, disciplined movement, and enough character to feel dangerous on the dance floor.